Are you glad you have Jesus this morning? How many has Jesus today? Praise the Lord. What would we do without Him? The song says, when we pray or when we're alone, we give me Jesus. When we come to die, we know we want Him then. But we need to be ready now. Amen. God bless you this morning. Welcome to the service. Appreciate the Lord Jesus this morning. We welcome His presence this morning. Our desire. Let's sing this song, Let Me Walk With You, Jesus. Oh, let me walk with You, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. Without You, I know I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Well, I've been on the mountain with Jesus. And I've been in this valley so long, but never one time, but never one time has He failed me. To Him with my troubles I go. So let me walk with You, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without You, I know I no, never. lonely, and you found me when I was so blue. Found me when no one would love me, and no one knew just what to do. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. Yes, Lord. For without you, no, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I never want to walk alone without Him. Let's sing that song, Heaven's Jubilee, this morning. Are you looking forward to that Jubilee? It will be the Jubilee of all times. That's what I am looking for. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, Joseph's heart to share, and what rejoicing that will be. When the saints cry, headed for that Jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Now I almost see all the saints dead, rising for the Jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, changed with Him to be, all the living saints to fly to that Jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ to ages long, heaven's. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Give Him another hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time. That ought to make you excited this morning. Glory to His name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to take our prayer request at this time. I'm going to ask Brother Bill if he'd get ready to come this morning. And we want to remember Sister Mary Ann Roy this morning. Not feeling good at all, Brother Luther says. So let's remember Sister Mary Ann this morning as we pray. Brother Troy and Sister Connie are sick. We want to remember them. Brother David and Sister Karen are away. Remember them this morning. Also, Sister Becky and Brother. Brother Lucas are sick also. We want to remember them this morning as we pray. Also, the Stevens family are in Georgia. Missing them this morning. Still want to remember Sister Molly in prayer. Still has infection, and pray that God will just remove that infection. Amen, and make her well again. Amen. Maybe you have an unspoken request this morning as we pray, as Brother Bill comes. Let's sing that song. Bring all your needs to the altar. Bring all your needs to the Lord. And maybe you have an unspoken request this morning. Find uplifted hand. Amen.
Let's bow our hearts. Our precious Lord Jesus, we come before you, Lord, for a feast. We bring all our needs to you, Lord. We've submitted prayer requests. We have unspoken prayer requests, Lord. And we commit them to you, Lord. And we just ask you to bless our hearts, forgive us for our failures, Lord. And let us draw closer to thee at this moment. Keep our minds and hearts focused on the Word. And in continuing of this song service, Lord, just draw us close. We just ask you to bless the service and bless each person here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You can have your seats. And Sister Anna Pritchard's coming to sing this morning. Amen. We have a couple of announcements while she's coming. Sister Laura's Sunday school class will meet at 4 p.m. today. Remember that. Also remember our year-end dinner that's coming up December the 1st at 6:30 at St. Mark's Church in Claremont. So most of you all know where it's at. Also, there will be a $5 to $10 gift exchange, a little game we play. And says, if you're unable to afford this, please let me know, and one will be provided. So just let Sister Faye know that if you need to bring, if you need her to bring some extra gifts. Appreciate the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Is everybody happy today? Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see each one this morning. Hope our deer hunters are happy too. They are. They've been away, and glad to see them back this morning, still smiling. Amen. I believe.
believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. You hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire. Heal all my disease. I trust in you. I trust in you. I believe
Sister Anna. Brother Keith's going to sing for us this morning at this time. Amen. Brother Keith.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live for day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry about the future. All I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk. walk beside him, for I know what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden is getting lighter. Every cloud is silver light. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim.
The Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more announcement that I failed to make. Thank you, Brother Keith, for the song. December the 16th, remember that, for the youth event at the Buchanan's home. So remember that also. Let's stand this morning as our ushers come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Play This Is My Desire. Let's sing that song, This Is My Desire. Brother Andy, if you would, prayer of the offering this morning. Amen. Amen. This is my
Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather in your house. Bless your people, I pray. Quicken the word to our hearts and teach us, Lord, the principles that we need to have rock solid in our hearts. We commit this congregation now into your hands, Lord. We commit this day into your hands. We commit every need into your hands, Lord, as has already been mentioned. And Father, we have confidence in praying to you that you hear our prayer and that, Lord, you would reward them that diligently seek you. And so today we ask that you would forgive us of anything that may be contrary to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we take these unclean hands and handle this perfect word, Lord, we'd never, ever attempt to do it except for the blood of Jesus Christ and the promise you have given to us, Lord, that we stand accepted in the Beloved. Father, have your way, we pray today, and we give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Son. There's a fountain open in the house of David to you who would believe. There are streams of grace that's flowing down from Calvary. Come now and oh, let's sing it now. Let's just raise our hands to Him. Let's worship Him together now. There's a fountain open in the house of David. That's us.
Who wouldn't believe? And there's a streams of grace that's flowing down from Calvary. Come now and
sing it again now. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, there's a fountain open in the house of David to you. Who would? There are streams of grace that's flowing down from Calvary. Come now and receive. Have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts. Have your way.
Close your eyes and just sing it to him now.
And as we wait,
thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And as we pray,
speak your word into have your way.
One more time. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts. And have your way. And as we wait,
oh yes, Lord,
as we pray,
thank you, Jesus.
Speak your word into and have your way.
Praise his wonderful name. While you're standing this morning, I wonder if you'd take your Bibles. Thank you, musicians. Let's go to Romans chapter 3 and one verse. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. God bless you all, and we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. It's an honor to be among you and to be in the house of the Lord today. It is a pleasure to know that we are saved and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. I'd like us all to read it together because, after all, it's all of us this verse speaks about. Ready? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I hope no one feels left out. May the Lord bless you. You may be seated this morning. Brother Bill Walters, November 12th. God bless you, Brother Bill. Great to have you with us today. November 13th, Sister Julia Clayville, her birthday. She's outside. God bless you, Sister Julia. And then November 14th is Sister Peggy Haney's birthday. And we sure miss Sister Peggy being with us in church. A couple of very brief things here I want to talk about, just very briefly. On Monday, Sister Hannah Whitlock has an appointment, heart, and in Winston-Salem. Sister Hannah, we'll be praying for you tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow, we'll be praying for you. Sister Shirley Buchanan is not with us today. She is in hospital. Sister Shirley had a very rough week, and she had some issues that were going on from last weekend when she had bronchitis and then a couple of other things that complicated that. The doctor gave her a medication that did not agree with her, and she actually passed out. Sister Amber found her I believe, in the house. She is in the hospital this morning. They did a CAT scan on her and found that she has a mass in her colon, and they're going to be doing a colonoscopy and endoscopy tomorrow to check it out. They couldn't do it before now because they had to get fluids and so forth balanced out, potassium levels and different things balanced out. Sister Shirley's in good spirits and visited with her last night. She is not anxious, but I told her that we would be praying especially for her today and just trust that the Lord will undertake for her. And so if you could remember that need as well when you pray. I was with Sister Molly as well yesterday, and Sister Molly still, despite all of the medications that they have given to her, she still has a UTI, and it's still showing up there. And so that is a need that we certainly need to continue to remember her about, because it's been a real trial for her. She's still at the home, and again, she's in great spirits. She misses church. She wants me to greet all of you and let you know that she misses being here much more than we miss her. And we certainly want to hold up Sister Molly in prayer. All right. Let me jump right in here because I have a lot of hay on my fork and I want to deal with this subject here this morning. What do we believe? And I want to deal with this subject this morning called the sin question. And this is, of all the things that we believe, this is one thing that every believer here, young or old, new convert or old convert, you have to get this clear. You got to get this down pat. You got to believe what I'm telling you today, because everything else basically hinges, everything else you believe hinges on this principle today that we're going to talk about. All right? So we're going to deal with the sin question, and I'd like to settle this for you. I've mentioned some of this in times past before, but I want to deal with it very directly here today. Now, Brother Branham makes this statement here. He says, no matter what the rest of the world has got to do, that has not one thing to do with you or I. No matter what the world does, that has nothing to do with you or I. We are responsible to God for our lives and for our experience with Christ. Let me explain what I mean by that. There was a lady one time came to her pastor and she said, Pastor, I'm just going to go ahead and quit this church. And he said to her, why are you going to do that? And she said, well, I look around in the church and I see people there that are on their cell phones during the sermon. I see people who are hypocrites, they're not living right. I see people who are nothing but gossips. And I'm just going to quit this church because there's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Pastor looked at her and said, whoa. He said, tell you what you do. Before you make that decision, why don't you come and bring a tray and put a glass of water on it and fill the glass to the very top. Bring that to me. And she looked at him and she said, okay. She brought the tray with the glass of water filled to the top with it. And pastor said, okay. Now, before the next service, what I want you to do is I want you to walk around the church twice. Walk around the perimeter of the church twice. She said, okay. And when it was all done and said and done, and she walked around the church, the pastor asked her, he said, I got three questions for you. Number one, did you see anybody on your cell phone when you were walking around the church? She said, no. Did you see anybody gossiping? No. Did you see anybody living wrong or doing anything wrong while you were walking around the church? And she said, no. He said, why not? She said, because I was so focused on the glass and the water. He said, then when you come to church, don't be focused on what other people are doing. Focus rather on God so you won't fall. Because you can't let your relationship with God be determined by how others relate to God. Let me read the quote again. No matter what the rest of the world has got to do, that is not one thing to do with you and me. We are responsible to God for our lives, for our experience with Christ. Does that make sense? So go ahead and get your glass, get your tray, start walking. Now, Brother Branham says in 1958, if the Word says so, if the Word says so, or something promised in the Word, that promise is kept, then there's nothing more to say. There's nothing to say. You must believe or be turned aside. You believe that? If the Word says so, something is promised, and that promise is kept, then there's nothing more to say. You know what? There's no argument. There's no more discussion. God says it, brings it to pass. Not a thing in the world anybody can say. You believe that? All right. Now, Look at this statement with me, if you don't mind, from Oswald Chambers. Oswald Chambers wrote lots of things. He's only remembered, though, for one. The thing he's remembered for is My Utmost for His Highest. The rest of his writings never caught on at all. But his book, Utmost for His Highest, is still being given out today as a great daily devotional. This is what he said. I want you to take a look at it with me. At the beginning of life, we do not reconcile ourselves to the fact of sin. We don't think much about it. We take a rational view of life and say that a man, by controlling his instincts and by educating himself, can produce a life which will slowly evolve into the life of God. A lot of people think that way. But as we go on, we find the presence of something which we have not taken into consideration, sin. And it upsets all of our calculations. Sin has made the basis of things wild and not rational. And it is not being reconciled to the fact of sin that produces all the disasters of life. Does that make sense? Think about it. In the message, Fellowship by Redemption, Brother Branham said, Israel, when it came into fellowship with God, he said there was only one place of fellowship with God, the tabernacle. That was the center of Israel's worship, was the physical place, the tabernacle, and that's where Israel was supposed to go. That was God's chosen place of worship. And in the tabernacle is where the bleeding sacrifice was going all the time. In the tabernacle, in the structure of the tabernacle, that's where the bleeding sacrifice was going all the time. You know why the bleeding sacrifice was going there all the time? Because Israel were constantly sinners. Right? They were constantly in sin. And Brother Branham said that God has never promised to meet any man upon his merits, no matter how good he or she is. God has never promised to meet any man upon his merits, how good he or she is. God never promised to meet you based on your performance. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad for that. God never promised to meet you if you be good. God never promised to meet you if you get it all correct, you get it all lined up. God never promised that. There is no fellowship with God upon your merit. There is no fellowship with God upon your merit. The only place there is fellowship is under the shed blood. That's the only place of fellowship is under the shed blood. Aren't you glad? Oh, I'll tell you what. I think that's just an excellent statement there. Sorry, it's a little dark. I was using the red for effect. And I want to illustrate the point that there's no fellowship with God based on your own merit. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church. It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. It doesn't matter how much money you give or what sacrifice you lay down. It doesn't merit any fellowship with God, any union with God, any forgiveness with God whatsoever. The only place there is fellowship is under the shed blood. That's the only place. From Genesis to Revelation, it's only through the blood, the innocent substitute to cover the guilty, penitent sinner, only the blood. Say it with me. Only the blood. Say it again. Only the blood. Only the blood. That's it. Nothing else. That's our place of protection. That's our place of safety. That is our place of forgiveness. And without forgiveness, we don't have communion, right? We don't have communion with God. We don't have anything. And so, therefore, it's only under the blood, and that's where we come to this morning. That's what we want to talk about this morning, because thankfully, God has never promised to meet us on any other basis except under the blood. And that's why Brother Branham said you can't take the blood out of your religion and still have an effective communion with God, because that's the only way forgiveness is accomplished. And it is in your blood, and it is in the blood of an animal. It's the blood of Christ. That is the thing that allows us to be able to have forgiveness of sins with Him, right? And so that's very important. Now, Paul even articulates this in Philippians chapter 3. And he says, circumcised, this is his own story. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. When it comes to everything a man is supposed to live, and when it comes to every semblance of origin that a Hebrew needs to have, Paul said, I had it all, did it well, did it in excess. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, you have to understand and keep this in the context here. He's not saying that all of the other things that I did in life didn't matter. He's not saying that. But in comparison, what I have now in the knowledge of Christ, what I have now in my experience with Christ, compared to what I had back there, makes this look like nothing. This is so much greater. This is so much more wonderful. This is so much more pure. And this is so much more powerful that compared to this, this seems like nothing. And he says, I don't even count that anymore. I don't even consider that anymore because what I have attained to and what I have come to and what I have been redeemed by is so much greater than what I once had. Here I was trying to do this myself. I was trying to do this under my own steam and my own power. But he says, now, he says, I have counted all things that I had but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And he's saying that in the language here, he's saying that without regret. I've suffered the loss of all things. And you know what? So what? Compared to what I had, hey, this is worth suffering the loss of all things for. This is absolutely a tremendous thing. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so I believe that what he did for me counted for me, and what he did for me, it worked. I believe that what he did for me, it worked. It was successful. And I believe I'm forgiven of all the things that I did, even including persecuting the church. All of those things, he said, I believe I've been forgiven of all of those things. And by faith now, I walk. By faith, I progress. By faith, I move on to the prize of the high calling of them which are in Christ Jesus, right? And that's his testimony. He says that this is what I am. Hey, listen, folks, every one of us could kind of write our own testimony in a paragraph kind of like this too, that, you know, what I was and what I did and all of those things there, all of those experiences, even in religion and all the other things, all the other stepping stones that I stepped on in my life, they were important in that they brought me to where I am. And I'm thankful for all of that. You know what? I'm thankful for all the things I've been through. I'm thankful for the contrasts in my life. Because we learn to appreciate things by contrast, don't we? And I look at my life now, and I look at it in contrast to the life I used to live. And I thank God, for my parents, and thank God for my life, and so on. But you know what? Compared to what I have now, all of that, my goodness, that's nothing. I'd never go back to that now because of what I've got. I believe, by faith, is better than anything I've ever had. And I also believe that what I have now is going to take me all the way through. That took me to here, but this is going to take me all the way through. That's our story. That's our testimony. Now, Brother Branham comes along in the masterpiece, and he says the flood, he's talking about the time when Noah came along and destroyed the whole thing because the covenant was made conditionally. And we know right from the beginning of the book of Genesis, God set out certain conditions for man to meet, and man never could. God knew that. God knew it when he set out the covenants. And he said, if you'll not do this or if you'll do that, then God would honor the covenant. Excuse me. God, the great sculptor, seeing that man could not keep a covenant, he just can't do it. You're not the first person to mess up. You're not the first person to fail. Excuse me. I was speaking to a person in the room. This is a sister who came to Brother Branham. Her name was Sister Bruce. I've mentioned some of the comments out of his interview with her over various sermons. And he said, I was speaking to her, and she said, Brother Branham, I have so many things that I know is wrong. And we look at our lives, and we could all be Sister Bruce today. We have lots of things that we look at, and we, you know, my goodness, there's so many things that are wrong, right? He says, a godly little woman. She's a godly, here's a prophet calling her a godly little woman. And she's trying to tell him, there's so many things in my life that I know are wrong. And I said, Sister, you don't look at yourself. It's just what your desire is and what you try to do. And if you really love the Lord and try to serve Him with all your heart, then you'll be okay. That's not what He says. Because if it's our efforts just to try to live right and do right and be sincere, then we don't need the Holy Ghost, right? We don't need Calvary. But look at what He says. Let's look at the sentence here. This is His counsel. And if you really love the Lord and try to serve Him with all your heart, then all your mistakes are hid in the blood of Jesus Christ. All your mistakes are hidden in the blood. They're gone. As far as the east is from the west, your sins are gone, right? Remember now, you can't take the white part and not the red part. But I believe if you got the red part, the white part's going to work for you as well. Are you following me here? He said, sister, you don't look at yourself. That's a good piece of advice. Everybody say amen. When you start looking at yourself and you start looking at, well, you know, what will people think? And my goodness, you know, I messed up. Poor old Brother Barry, he doesn't know. He thinks he's preaching to a bunch of saints. He thinks he's preaching to a bunch of good people that don't make mistakes and don't mess up and don't lose their temper and don't say bad things and don't get weary and tired and don't feel like coming to church. And hey, let me tell you something. Brother Bram says, my advice to you, sister, is don't look at yourself. It's one of the things you ought to do because you'll start to get defeated right as soon as you look at yourself. You start to feel how short you are of the mark. You start to feel how inferior you are. You start to feel how unspiritual you are because of all the things that happened, right? Anybody out there this morning that can relate to that? We all can. Every one of us can because that's life, right? Life hands us lots of things. Life hands us unemployment. Life hands us disappointments. Life hands us setbacks. Life hands us sickness. And there are things that happen that we did nothing to incur. We did nothing to bring it upon ourselves, but it's just there. And Brother Bram said, you look at yourself. He said, it's just what your desire is and what you try to do. Oh, God, look at my desire this morning. Make that your prayer today. Look at my desire. I'll tell you what, for all of you that made mistakes and feel maybe ashamed of what you did this week, I would say this to you. Say, Lord, don't look at me. Look at my desire. Look at Calvary first, and then you can look at me, Lord, but look at my desire. Look, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live in that gutter of immorality, and I don't want to give. I don't want to live in that gutter of lies and deceit. I want to be victorious, and I want to overcome, and I want to be an honorable member of the Bride of Jesus Christ. How many of you at your desire this morning? And this is what he's saying. Don't look at yourself here because the good news is that God is not looking at you either. He's not looking at you. He said it's just what your desire is and what you try to do. That's what God's looking at. He said it's just what your desire is. And if you really love the Lord and try to serve Him with all your heart, and then all your mistakes are hid in the blood of Jesus Christ, He made a way. You didn't make the way. You're not responsible for making a way, but He made a way. I'm thankful that He made a way. David writes it like this in Psalm 103. He said, He has not dealt with us after our sins. Yes. Aren't you glad God's not dealt with you after your sins? Hey, none of us would stand a chance if God had dealt with us and God continued to deal with us according to our sins. Now, we reap what we sow. In this life, we reap what we sow, but God doesn't deal with us after our sins. In other words, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If we got truly what we deserve, then, my goodness, we'd be of all men most miserable. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. I'll guarantee you, if you got in your car today and you drove all the way to the west coast, like some of these drivers do over here, and they go all the way to the west coast, they'd still be heading east. And they'd never really meet the west, because the west is still ahead of them, right? And that's the idea that David's trying to convey. As far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, and He remembereth that we are dust. He knows our frame. He knows what we go through. He knows what we feel. And He knows what what sensations we have. He knows what disappointment feels like. He knows what betrayal feels like. He knows what pain feels like. And He remembereth that we are dust. Man cannot keep the covenant. So therefore, and here's one of the most important statements we'll come to today, Jesus died that He might breed you back. Oh, hallelujah. Only through the chemistry of the blood of Jesus Christ can breed back again a person that won't vary from one word from what God said. That's worth reading again. Jesus died that He might breed you back to the original, right? God's interested in bringing you back to anything. It's bringing back to how He thought of you before the foundation of the world, when your name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life, right? Breeding you back means bringing you back to the place where you were, where you once were, before sin entered the picture, right? Only through the chemistry of the blood of Jesus Christ can breed back again. There's only one thing that can do that. You cannot turn over a new leaf. You cannot, make a New Year's resolution. You cannot turn yourself back again to the person that God saw you as. You cannot do that. But only the chemistry of the blood of Jesus Christ. So all of our efforts and all of our conduct and all of our good intentions don't matter now, because he says only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now look, folks, my intent this morning is to settle this question about sin and where you stand in relation to sin. And every one of us were born in sin, so this affects every one of us. But God made a way, right? God made a way. And if God made a way, here's how it works. Only through the chemistry of the blood of Jesus Christ can breed back again a person who won't vary from one word of God. I'm not a chemist. And I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Don't try this at home. I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. I'm going to be a little unorthodox here today. And if any of you kids want to come and sit up here in the front, come on up now. Do it now or forever hold your seat. Let's say, come on, if you got to see this because you got to get it in your mind. You got to get the colors in your mind. Come on, everybody who's little and is not embarrassed, come on. You guys stay right where you are, all right? You ready? Here we go. Keep the quote in mind that's on the board. Jesus died that he might breed you back to the original, oh hallelujah. The original was a sinless world that God created. Sit down, guys. Sit down right there. Theo. Lost in the world. This is what it was like in the original. Everything was without sin, right? God created man without sin. God created the world without sin. And everything was pretty clear. Everything was pretty straightforward in sin. Now, the problem is that in a perfect world, that's the way it was, and that's the way God intended it. Now, let me just do it this way, all right, just so you can see it. I've got to act faster because this is rather volatile. So I got to do this. I have a brother, Elias, helped me to figure this out, and he got me on the right road to be able to do this to show you today. And then I have a neighbor who's a mad scientist. He's actually a chemistry teacher in high school. And he came over and helped me get the right chemical properties here and so forth to be able to show you this. Don't try this at home. All right? Don't try this at home. So this jar here represents you. Okay? So this is you. Everybody got it? This is sin that entered the world, and this is Christ. Okay? And we're going to refer to this as the blood of Christ. Remember now, this is you, this is sin, and this is Christ. Everybody got it? Okay. Now, the problem is that in the beginning here, sin entered the world. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And what happened was sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world through Satan and passed or filtered down through Adam to the world, that's the way God saw mankind. Now, the problem is every one of us are born in sin, right? Every one of us are born in sin. So we have to deal with the sin question. Brother Branham tells us, look at the quote, only through the chemistry of the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's look at this as the chemistry of the blood of Jesus Christ. Watch what happens. Restored back to the original. You want to know something else? Watch what God did to sin. Amen. Now, I'd like a volunteer, somebody to come back now in your life and find the sin. There's a man of science right here. All these students right here. John? Anybody want to come and try to find your sin? You know where they are? They're gone. Say it with me. They're gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Sister, you want to give it a shot? Want to find your sins here? They're lost. They're gone. They're no more. You will not find them. They are absolutely gone. As a matter of fact, in the eyes of God, The sin question is settled. So when he looks at me now, when he looks at me, what does he see? He sees the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me from all sin. Right? Only, look at the quote now, only through the blood of Christ, only through the chemistry of the blood of Jesus Christ can breed a person back again, not only to the original, but not to vary from one word that God says. Hallelujah! That's what the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to do, is to bring you back to your original state in the eyes of God. Now, hey, we're not in our original body. Our original body is a real body, a body without sin, right? Body not that doesn't get old and so forth. But we'll eventually step into that body. God's going to take the real me, the redeemed me, and bring me back to my real body one day. But in the eyes of Jesus Christ this morning, I've been redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. You know what? This sin is not coming back, folks. I can't find it at all. Ethan, you want to give it a shot? Find your sins there. When they're confessed and put under the blood of Jesus Christ, they are gone. They are absolutely gone. And you can go back to your seats. Unless you want to stay and you're old enough to stay, you're certainly welcome to do it. But you're not. Let's look at this now. Everybody, let's go back to your seats. Watch what the Bible says now. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Say it. All sin. If we walk in the light, as He's in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad for the powerful cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And that means that in Christ, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Glory to God. Every sinner has a past, right? Every saint has a past. Every one of us have a past. Look, folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want my past to meet me at the gates of heaven. I don't want my past to catch up with me when I get to the point of the translation of my body. I want my past to be gone. I want my past to be under the blood of Christ. I want my past to be completely extricated and gone and divorced and absolutely as far away as the east is from the west. That's what I'm after. And because I'm in Christ now, every saint has a future. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You understand, the Old Testament is full of promises of how God was going to make a way. The Old Testament is full of promises like this, which promise that God would have to make a way because man is a covenant breaker. Man is a sinner. Come on. Don't get quiet on me now. I know it's warm here. I don't know why, but it is. And Isaiah wrote, "He shall see his seed and he shall prolong his days in the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. He shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge," can we get that off? "And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." He shall bear their iniquities. Aren't you glad? Look, folks, you got to understand now, when we talk about settling the sin question, you're not the one to bear your iniquities. You're not the one to carry the weight and the burden of sin. That's gone. That's gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. There's no other, there's no other experiment I can show you. There's no other demonstration I can give you. There's no other scripture verse I can show you or point out to you. There's only one. And that is, we were all sinners saved by the grace of God. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that's strong enough to breed you back to the original. And nothing else is capable of doing that. And Jesus himself took that responsibility on himself to make sure that you look like that jar after sin entered into your life. He took responsibility to cleanse you by his own blood. Because he knew nothing else could accomplish that and nothing else could breed you back to the original. God's interested in getting you back to where you belong. God's interested in getting you to where you will be for all eternity. Let me say it again. God's interested in getting back to you where you belong, and God's interested in getting you to where you need to be for all eternity. In the Old Testament, Brother Branham said the believer maybe committed adultery, told a lie, came with a lamb. All sinners came with a sacrifice because that was the Old Testament law. The first thing the lamb must be is perfect, without a blemish for the sin offering. And a lot of people think, well, if I could be a Christian, if I just quit this, and if I just be a better man or a better woman, you'll never be better in that estate. In your own human personality, in your own human ability, you'll never be better in that estate. You can never get better until something comes in to make you better. And then you're born again. You can't do it. Say it with me. I can't do it. I can't do it. You young people, you got to understand, I can't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. Nobody can do it. Brother Branham couldn't do it. The prophets couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. Excuse me. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could do it. You'll never get any better in that estate. You'll have to have something better to come and make you better. You needed to have a Savior in order to come and make you better. In that estate, you'll never be better. I've shown you this diagram before. We can be as good as we want to as sinners before we encounter the blood of Jesus Christ, but no matter how good we are, no matter how sincere we are, and no matter how intent we are, you'll only go as far as the level of God's righteous requirement. You will only rise that high. You will only go that far to meet God's righteous requirement. And then when it calls for sinlessness, when it calls for perfection, you're going to run into a dead end. You're going to run into full stop because there's no way you can be righteous or perfect or sinless in the eyes of God under your own merits. If you could, then the cross of Calvary certainly was in vain. Right? So no matter how good you are now, no matter how good intentions you are, and no matter how many times you attend Sunday school and sing all the songs in front of the church, you will run into God's righteous requirement, and that will stop you right there. Every man falls short of the glory of God, right? But thankfully, through the blood of Jesus Christ, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And now because Jesus came and put that streak of blood across there, and you're able to go through that, it's not you meeting God's righteous requirements. He met it for you so that you keep going all the way past God's requirement and into glory. Everybody ought to say amen. Look, let me tell you, if you came down and out today and you came a sinner, and you came a loser, or you came like you feel like a loser, or you come feeling like you're a failure, or you came like you feel like that you really messed up this week, this is for you. Because it isn't your performance that determines whether you have eternal life. It is what He did on your behalf, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And today, God's made a contract. Not because you were good or because you joined the church, been a good member of society. You can never be ever so good, live a clean life, go to church every day, sacrifice every day, give part of your money, give up all the sins of the world and live just as true as faithful as you can, and you'll miss heaven just as sure as east is from the west. Now, there's a lot of people that would have disagreed with Brother Branham in saying that because there's a lot of people from the Pentecostal movement who would have sat there and said, but I spoke in tongues. Right? And they never understood anointed ones of the end time. They never understood how the rain can fall on the just and the unjust. And the Holy Spirit, the actual Holy Spirit, can bless the weed and the wheat in the same field, and they can both raise their hands and pray. And the gift of tongues can be manifested, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, all of those gifts can be manifested, but that doesn't mean that there's a true new birth. Look, folks, you can be, let's add some of our current vernacular here. You can be in this church. You can be in HBT all your life. You can be born and raised here. And you can know, about God sent a prophet in Malachi 4. You got it memorized. And you got all the right books. And you got a little micro SD card for your computer. And you go to the right camps. You got the right dress. No tattoos. No earrings on. Nothing. And you look at that and feel like, wow, you know what? I saw that experiment that Brother Barry did. And you know what? I think I'm okay. Because I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe what He said. I understand what He said. And you can have a mental faith and be lost and go to hell. And Brother Branham's telling us, no. He said, it isn't by goodness that we are saved, but it's by His mercy that we are bought. And God wanted to make sons and daughters of God. You're not born again until you're born again. You're not born again by association. You're not born again by proximity. Just because you're in the approximate location to this church here this morning and your carcass is sitting on one of our pews. Let me tell you, or you kids might go play on our new playground. Let me tell you something. That does not make you a member of HBT. Right? That doesn't, sorry, that might make you a member of HBT, but that doesn't make you a member of the Bride of Christ. Glad you're listening. Some of you are actually listening. Goodness never makes them. Goodness never makes them. The Spirit of God makes them. Goodness doesn't make you. Being good, trying to be good, doing good doesn't make you. The Spirit of God makes them. If it wasn't so, He wouldn't have to send the Holy Ghost. Are we settling the sin question for you? Nod your head if we're settling the sin question. This should be settled in every heart. What do we believe? Let me tell you, what we do believe is that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we stand forgiven and justified as though we never did it in the first place. This is the thing you've got to get down pat. This is the thing you have to have clear in your mind. You're not going to be able to progress in the Christian life when you're all the time beat down by guilt and wondering, am I really forgiven? What about if I died tomorrow? And, you know, does the blood of Christ apply to me? This has got to be settled in every heart. This has got to be settled in every soul today. That every one of you are included under the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've accepted that pardon that Jesus Christ provided for us, right? Because a pardon is not a pardon until the pardon's accepted. And so we got to accept the pardon, right? But this even gets better. Brother Bam says, now when I'm praying, God don't see me. He just hears my voice through the blood of Jesus. He don't see me. He hears my voice. When I pray, God don't see me. He hears my voice through the blood of Jesus. He don't see me. He hears my voice. And that blood there is to represent what I ask. Then He hears my voice, but He sees only the blood. See, He don't see me. So I can't be dirty when I'm under the blood. Because the blood cleanses. So here's God now. Let's just pretend. Here's God in heaven, and there's all kinds of people, you know, calling out to God, and all of a sudden He looks your way, and He hears you, and He looks over, and this is Harrison calling out to God and asking God for forgiveness. And when God looks over and sees Harrison, He doesn't see Harrison. He sees the blood of Christ. That blood hangs between God and Harrison. Because if God looked at Harrison, bang, you'd be dust, buddy. You'd be history. There'd be nothing. There'd be nothing even worth salvaging. Not even a Ralph Lauren polo shirt. It would have no merit at all. You'd be just vapor. That's what you would be. But when God looks at Harrison and hears that cry, hears that petition, hears that plea for forgiveness that Harrison's crying out to God, God looks at him and says, whoa, sonny, you can have what you asked for. Because He looks at him and sees him white as snow. Glory to God! He sees him white as snow. And there's nothing at all that God holds against Harrison because He sees a perfect sacrifice made on His behalf. Now look, I'm only saying what the tapes say. I'm only saying what Brother Branham said. That when I'm praying, God doesn't see me. He only hears my voice. I would say this to you today. If you're a sinner or you've messed up, cry out to God and believe that the blood stands between you and Him. You need to cry out to God and say, God, see my desire today. Hear my prayer. See my desire. See how I want to live and forgive me, Lord, for those things I did wrong. Put them under the blood. Don't just assume they're forgiven, but put them under the blood and make that conscious, deliberate delivery of your sins to the blood of God, the pool of blood that resides at the bottom of the cross. Imagine yourself, you know, crawling to that place and putting your sins underneath that pool of blood. And then remember, God doesn't see you dirty when you're under the blood. Some of you have committed some dirty, rotten, low-down things. And I'm not being funny at all. And some of you hold on to that because you figure, wow, that kind of sin is too dirty even for God. That kind of sin is too bad even for the Holy One. Let me tell you something. Brother Branham does not qualify what type of sins are forgiven and what type are not. He simply says, when you come, God doesn't see you dirty at all when you're under the blood because the blood cleanses. The blood cleanses. The blood cleanses us from sin. And He's the bumper between me and God. And He promised, ask the Father anything and I'll do it. He said, do you believe that's true? That's why I say, if we don't get this down, you'll never ask God for anything because you'll sit there and say, I'm not even worthy to ask Him. And you know what? I got news for you this morning. You're right. None of us are worthy to come to God and ask for anything. Ask for any of the blessings on your life. I often pray when I'm by myself, you know, if I'm eating a meal or something, I often pray, Lord, I'm not worthy of your blessing. Let's kind of get that down pat first. Just so that you and I are on the same page. Lord, I'm not worthy of your blessing, but bless this anyway. That's often how I pray. Whenever I'm by myself and you know something's going on, I often say, Lord, we as a people, we are not worthy. We are not deserving of your blessing, but bless us anyway. Not because we have done something to merit that, but because I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we believe in the blood of Jesus Christ and how God sees you, then you will not be hesitant to come to God and cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. You'll not be afraid to come in Him in a time of crisis and a time of emergency and a time of desperation and come to God and say, Lord, this is my prayer, this is my petition, this is my desire, and I have no worthiness to bring to you. I have nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. And when we come to Him with that understanding, you'll not be hesitant to ask God. Because look, let's get it all square, let's get it all straight in our minds. None of you are worthy. None of you deserve the blessings and the mercy and the grace of God. But He extends it anyway because He loves you and because your name is on the Lamb's Book of Life. It is a fixed fight. It is a fixed game. Because I'm an heir, I receive it. That's it. We are heirs of salvation, heir of the Holy Spirit. I'm an heir because Jesus paid the price. Because I'm an heir, I can receive it. We are heirs of salvation, heirs of the Holy Spirit. I'm an heir because Jesus paid the price. Nothing I had to do, I just fell heir to it. I'm healed because I'm an heir to it. There's some of you that need healing today. Sister Shirley needs a healing touch. Sister Molly needs a healing touch. You know, there's many people that are not here today that need a touch. Sister Angela Pritchard's not here today. She's with her mom. Her mom needs a healing touch. Sister Pritchard needs a touch herself. Let me tell you, we are heirs to it. Not because we deserve it. We are heirs to it because I'm an heir to it. If your name's on the will, folks, your name's on the will. If your name's on the will, you don't need to worry about, is it on there? Is it on there? If it's on there, it's on there. If your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life, you don't need to fret about, is it on there? Is it on there? If it's on there, it's on there. If you're an heir, you're an heir. I'm healed because I'm an heir to it. My diseases are gone. My afflictions are gone. Satan can't stand that because he's a defeated human being. Nothing but a bluff. Jesus paid the price. Called us by His grace. I'm just claiming my own God-given privileges. And all the heirs said, look, folks, don't come to me and say, Brother Barry, I still don't feel like I'm worthy. Look, I know that. Don't bother telling me that. I know that. I look in the mirror every day and reaffirm that. I know that that's true. But I will tell you this. I'm claiming what my God-given privileges are because I'm an heir. And He made me an heir. And I'm a joint heir with Christ. And therefore, nothing can change that. Right? When the testator is dead, when somebody dies and they've left a will, and what they wanted, what their wishes were expressed in that will, and a certified, ratified, witnessed and everything else, there's nothing can change that. Nobody can come along and change that after it's already been certified, right? So if you're on the will, how do you know you're on the will? Brother Branham says, you know your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life when you can hear and catch and see and believe and understand the mystery of your day. When you can believe the mystery of your day. He said that ties you back to the Lamb's Book of Life. Because that's how God wrote your name on there. God wrote your name in mystery form. He put a mystery for this day. And when that mystery is unfolded, when that mystery is revealed, and you believe it, that ties you to the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, it doesn't say, like Orm and Neville's name is on the Lamb's Book of Life, or Lee Vale's name is on the Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't say that. But what when you look at the Lamb's Book of Life, when you get there, and you get to heaven, you go over by the organ, and you say, Lord, I want to see the Lamb's Book of Life. And you want to look at it. I just want to see it. Brother Barry's talked about all his ministry. I just want to see the Lamb's Book of Life. And what you look at when you get there is just a book of mysteries. And as those mysteries were revealed and unfolded down through the ages, all the bride who were connected with that age and that mystery, that was their name that was on the Lamb's Book of Life. For instance, the people who lived in Martin Luther's day, when they come along and look at the Lamb's Book of Life, you know what they'll see? The just shall live by faith. And they say, I believe that. I believe that in my day. And that's your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So when we get there, right, over by the organ, and we get there in heaven, and we look at the book, and we say, I want to see the book, you'll see mysteries. You know what? You'll see all the mysteries there. Because Brother Bram's ministry was to tie together the loose ends of all these mysteries. Right? And you'll see, well, God sent a prophet. I believe that. Revelation 10:7. Yes, sir. That was my prophet. Revelation 8:11. 10:8-11. Yes, sir. I ate the book and believed the book and prophesied again. Yes, sir. I believe the rapture. I believe the no eternal hell. All the other things that were written there in the book. All the mysteries of God. You can stand there and proudly say, I believe that. And Jesus will say, but that's your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why you're here in glory, because your name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And as those mysteries unfolded, that tied you to the book. Am I making sense? Now look, folks, let's be clear. None of us are worthy of this. But we're just claiming our God-given privilege because He put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. I didn't. He did. You didn't. He did. We're imperfect, born in sin. Everybody getting the point? You see, now I'm starting to loop. Right? Starting to loop now. We're imperfect, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Everybody says amen. We're no good to begin with. Amen. But God don't look at you. Amen. He looks at the sacrifice. He looks at the Lamb. Every sentence I said there, you should have said amen. Let's try it again. We're imperfect, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. We're no good to begin with. But God don't look at you. He looks at the sacrifice. He looks at the Lamb. He doesn't see you. He doesn't see you because He sees Christ Jesus died for you. Now, if you can find some fault with Jesus, then your healing might not be right. But if you find no fault in Him, it's perfect. Don't be afraid. I'm an heir to this. Oh, I know I don't deserve it, but I'm an heir anyhow. Wow. That's just flat out good. That's as good as that experiment over there. Because it ought to be something in our hearts now. What do we believe? We believe that we are forgiven. We believe we stand forgiven and justified in the eyes of God as though we never did it in the first place. And when you realize what great grace has been shed abroad to all of us, when God's extended such mercy to you and none of you deserve it, we ought to just say, Lord, this is a gift of salvation without money, without price. And Lord, knowing what great things you've done for me, how can I live my life in service to you? How can I dedicate my life in a greater way to you? Lord, show me, lead me, guide me. Help me, Lord, to live my life in such a way that I never bring reproach against the blood of Christ and against the principles of God's Bible. When I think about how good you've been to me, why wouldn't I be good to another? If you've forgiven me of so much, why wouldn't I forgive my brother of faults and offenses that he's committed against me? You know what? No matter what Harrison did to me, no matter what he said about me or anything else, that's nothing compared to what I did against Christ. I'll guarantee you. You don't know Harrison's life, but you don't know my early life. And you don't know the things that I mess up and the things that I do wrong and all the rest of it. But let me tell you something. When you think about how great a great thing God has done for us in forgiving us, and why wouldn't I forgive my brother my trespass when he... And if I understand the Bible correctly, you ought to forgive quickly. Just forgive. Let it go. Let it go. Don't hang on to it. Let it go. Don't hold on to it. Let it go. And when the Bible says to let it go and get rid of it and don't hold a grudge against anybody, it means this literally. That we're going to divorce it, we're going to tear it up, and we're never going to be able to hold on to it again. It's gone. And that's exactly the way that we ought to look at the offenses that have happened to us in life because of another, when we realize all of what God's done. He's taken my sins, He's taken my part in the book of life and torn it up, dipped it in the blood of Jesus Christ, and now when He looks at me, He only sees my representation on the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins, right? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now watch now, just very briefly. The word walk there, if we walk in the light, it means this. It means to make your way and to progress, to make due use of the opportunities that lay ahead of you. Hebraistically, which means, according to the Hebrew tradition, to live. It means to live. If we walk in the light, it means to live, to regulate one's life and to conduct one's life, to pass your life on this earth. We're going to conduct our life on this earth as if we are walking in the light, as if we are victorious, as if we're making progress, as if we are free from sin. That's what the Scripture is actually telling us to do. So like Romans 6 and 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Your life then is going to be regulated by, it's going to be conducted by, the fact that you're actually walking in the light, that you're actually redeemed, and that you're actually, a Christian now, and I'm forgiven. You know what Christians have? Christians have peace. Christians have peace. They're not running from church to church, and they're not always finding fault. They're not, they don't have critical spirits. They love the Lord. Christians have joy. Right? Christians have long-suffering. Look at your wife and say, I have long-suffering. Mike, you can look at me. I have long-suffering.
Christians have forgiveness. Christians have the contentment that comes with knowing and believing that if I died today, if I died on my way home, if I died my way into the fish camp after church here, you know what? I'd be all right. If I died after the fish camp, it'd be because of what I ate at the fish camp. But if I died going to the fish camp, I'd be all right with God. I'd make it straight in. You got to have that peace and that contentment. You got to have that joy in your heart. You got to have that willingness and that quickness to forgive. You got to have that consolation. And when God looks at me, He doesn't see me dirty. He doesn't see me messed up. He doesn't see my temper. He doesn't see all of those things. But now, here's the thing. Here's the thing that happens supernaturally in the lives of every believer. Here's the thing that happens. That once a person's sin is under the blood, and the Spirit of Christ can come back and live in that individual now and fill him up, then that person no longer lives his own old life. But now the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died for me and saved me. So now our lives actually change. They change, they're transformed into what God actually intended from before the foundation of the world, and what God wanted you to live like. And Paul summarizes this in Ephesians, and he says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be not just saved, even though we are. You notice what he says, and notice what he doesn't say. We are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I think we've illustrated that now we stand before God, holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto maturity, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. So you've actually been ordained to grow up, because now you can, under the right tutor. If you are being tutored by the world, you're going to grow up and reflect the world's priorities and the world's standards and the world's walking orders, right? Marching orders. But when you're redeemed, now you become mature and you're predestinated to the adoption by Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. How? Through the blood, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So you've actually been covered by the blood to be forgiven completely, and sin is divorced. It's gone. It's torn up, not held against you anymore. To become something. You are now free to become something. Because when you were in sin and before the blood of Christ came, you could only be as good as you were able to be good. The Holy Spirit couldn't come into your life because there was no sacrifice there. There was no blood. Right? High priest, folks, the whole high priest couldn't go into the Old Testament tabernacle unless there was blood. But when there was blood, he could go through that and come into the presence of God. The Holy Spirit could not come into your life before the blood, but now that the blood is there, you've accepted the blood of Christ, now the Holy Spirit can come in and transform you into what you couldn't be yourself. So you've been predestinated to become what God wants you to be. So therefore, here's my advice to you. Stop acting like the world. Stop living like the world. Stop prioritizing things the way the world does. Stop copying the world in dress, conduct, music, reading, everything else, media. Stop copying the world, because you're not predestinated unto the adoption of children by the cosmos. You're predestinated unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to Himself. Therefore, the Word is therefore going to have an opinion about what you do. The Word's going to have a direction about where you go and how you conduct yourself. The Word's going to have an opinion about how you treat that girl when you're alone with her. The Word's going to have an opinion about how you treat your husband when nobody is watching. The Holy Spirit's going to have something to say about how we conduct ourselves on a daily basis, because we have been predestinated to become something you could never be without the blood of Christ. Am I making sense? So we have been forgiven. That ought to be settled. The sin question ought to be settled. But now we have been set free to become what God really wants us to be. He never wanted you to be a sinner. He wanted you to be free. He wanted you to be a mature son and daughter of God in Christ Jesus. That's what He wanted. And now He's made a way through the blood of Christ. I'm glad for the blood of Christ, but it doesn't stop there. Once we realize, all right, we got the jug thing down pat, and yes, that's the way I stand before God. I mean, there's no mess, there's no sin, there's nothing over here that holds me back. Therefore, Lord, let me go on to become what You predestinated me to become. Let's stand to our feet. You ought to pray, Lord, look at my desire. Look at what I want to become, what Brother Barry's talking about there today. I want to become that kind of person. I want to become someone You can use. Because an adopted son is one who can write the check and sign it just like the father can. So I'm going to be God's emissary. I want to be God's hands in the earth. And I want to be God's eyes and God's mouth in the earth. I want to be that. Let me ask you something. In your heart, is the sin question settled? In your heart, not just in your mind, but in your heart, is the sin question settled? It should be for every one of us. I've tried to make the scripture and this and the teachings of Brother Branham as clear as I possibly could to illustrate to you that this process, what Jesus went through, He did it for you and I to come to that place where we could be absolutely, totally forgiven. But if you've never, I guess this is where we get into this question of, you know what? I accept this, Brother Barry. I accept this. Jesus is my Savior. I accept that. My sins are gone. Nothing left here at all. But now, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want Him to be my head. I want Him to take over. That's what I want now. So He can be my Savior. And yeah, He did the jug thing, right? We got it. No more sin. No more red around here. No more crimson around here. But now I got to go to the next step. Every believer now has got to have in his heart to say, I want to go to the next step. I don't just want to be cleansed from sin. But now, Lord, I want You to be the Lord of my life. You've proven You are the Savior when You died on Calvary's cross. But now, Lord, I want You to be Lord. So now, let's put that out of the picture altogether. Now it's you and him, Brother Bram said, as partners together in life. Now it's not me anymore, but Christ that lives in me. Because what was in one jug is now in the other jug, right? Mixed it all together. So now it's not my life, but His life in me. In Christ alone. Drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ. One more time. In Christ alone. My strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest doubt and storm. What heights of love, what depths of grace, what fears are still when strives. He's my comforter. My all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. Second verse, in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the world. He came to save, till on that cross Jesus died.
again now.
There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then stayed forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. I'm bought with the precious blood of Christ.
First verse. No, I'm sorry, this is the fourth verse. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ. Oh, sing it out now. From every heart, every cry. Life's first cry to my final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever fly. Power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home here in the power of Christ. Sing that again now. No power of hell, no power of hell, and no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns and calls me home. I stand. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that today? I'll tell you what, that's good. That's worth coming to church to hear. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel good. I feel good because I just reminded myself of what the Bible says is true and right. That he has forgiven me. And he didn't attach one condition to it. He said, if you do this, I'll forgive you. He didn't do that. He just stretched his arms out like this and he said, for God so loved the whole world, he gave his only son. And now we stand forgiven as though we never did it in the first place. So I can't be dirty in his eyes. I can't be wrong in his eyes. I can't be messed up in his eyes. I can't be a misfit in his eyes. I can't be a loser in his eyes. I can't be lost in his eyes anymore. I can only be perfect because of the perfect one that stood for me. He has forgiven me. Oh, my sins have been washed from his memory by the blood of Calvary. He has forgiven me. Sing it now. Yes, he has forgiven me. And my sins, they've been washed from his memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven. Glory again. My sins, they've been washed from his memory. So by the blood of the Lamb of
forgive.
Sing it again now. Claim your rights now. Claim your rights. Claim what you need now today. Claim what you have need of. You got need of a touch. You got need of forgiveness. You got need of healing. Claim it now today. Claim it because of what He did. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary, He has forgiven. One more time. Hallelujah. Let's sing it now. Yes, He has forgiven me my sins. They've been washed. Oh, by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary, He has forgiven me. Consumed. Power of your spirit, me, Lord, and make me more like you. Me, Lord, bless. Raise your hands, just singing to Him this morning. Taught in society, you know, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Except stuff that comes from the Bible. In the Bible, it's almost too good to be true, right? It's almost too impossible even to believe, but it's true nonetheless. Even if the world doesn't believe it, even if the world thinks that we are extreme and our beliefs are extreme, it doesn't make it wrong. It only means that they don't believe it. Now, let me tell you something. For you folks that are waiting anxious to get out of here, just let me say this to you. This morning, I received a report that in the nation of Russia, they confiscated at the border, they confiscated a container full of message books and materials, sermons and so forth of Brother Branham at the border. And the Russian government labeled it as extreme material for extremists. They labeled it as a dangerous thing. They took the pastor of the church in St. Petersburg, and apparently he's in jail. That's the report that I had. Because they label this message, they look at this message as extreme. So do we. So do we. I look at this message as something extreme. And the Russian government, partly because of political tension and all the rest of it, but really who cares why it comes? It's kind of, we could call it this way, it's a squeezing time. And I will tell you something. It's tougher for believers today in Russia than it was yesterday. And that's the world that we live in. And you know what? That's going to happen all over the world. And you got to know what you believe. You got to figure out what you believe. And you got to figure out, do I believe it because I'm here and because Brother Barry makes it so convincing or so clear? Or is it because my parents are here or because, you know, it's Sunday? You're going to have to go beyond that, folks. You're going to have to go a step beyond that. This is not child's play anymore. This is extreme. This is extreme. We either believe it and believe it all the way, believe it 100%, believe it to the change of our body, or we don't. One or the other. We're bride or we're not. Hot or cold, nothing in between is going to work. Right? Hey, that's where we come to, folks. People are in jail today because of this message. I believe it anyway. If you've never, ever made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to do that today. We can baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's in your hearts where the surrender comes. And if you've never done that today, I'd like to make that available because that fits today. And the blood of Jesus Christ still atones for sin. I'm thankful for that. Still available for a believer. My. I'm glad I'm a believer. I'm glad I'm a believer. Glad I'm saved. Glad there's a fountain open in the house of David that we can come to. Glad there's a rock that we can climb up on. Like Brother Bram said, better than the rock of Gibraltar. He said we can stand on there. Nothing moves him. My. Lord, look at my desire. Don't look at my actions, Lord. Don't look at the foolish things I do and say. But Lord, look at my desire. Look at my heart. Lord Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right now. Let's sing it together now. I need you, Lord, right now. Oh, I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Jesus. My hand. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now. Oh, we need you, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord. Yes, we need you, Lord, right Jesus, we needed you, and you became our Goel, you became our kinsman redeemer. We didn't even know we needed you, but we needed you, and you came on our behalf. You sacrificed yourself for sin that we might be free today, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, never to be bound again by sin. But Lord, we stand now as a people at the end of time, the end of the Gentile time, and we say together, we need you, Lord, now. to make that final step. We don't want to go any further, Lord, unless we know our hand is in your hand. And Lord, our heart's desire today is not to just play religion and come to church. Our desire, Lord, is to be broken. Our desire is to be a prisoner. Be completely, utterly bound by the captivating Holy Spirit of God that now thinks our thoughts and leads us each step of the way. And Lord, in that covenant of peace, there's healing. In that covenant of peace, Lord, there is salvation, there is joy, there is the fruits of the Spirit. There's everything, Lord, a man could want in this life. Lord, this world's falling apart. And so now we appreciate the contrast, the great dichotomy that's unfolding before us, Lord, the differences between light and dark, the differences between peace and unrest, the differences between love and hate, the differences between heaven and hell. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because you make your word so clear and so real that it doesn't require intellect. It only requires faith for us to believe it. May we be like Father Abraham, Lord. May our hearts be filled with faith and believing. Everything your voice tells us, it's what we want to believe and call true. Have your way, Lord, I pray. I think of my own family back home, Lord, Sister Becky and Lucas, and think of Brother and Sister Fulcher. Think of Karen and David and Sister Angela, all the other requests and all the other needs, Lord, that have been mentioned today. So many people, Lord, families going through turmoil and struggle. We think, Lord Jesus, that how scary it must be for people in the world that have no hope and they have no anchor. They're just drifting with the world towards an abyss. Lord, I pray you'd reach out to our loved ones. Deal with their hearts. Bring them to the light. May they enjoy the presence of the blood of Jesus Christ. Have your way, Lord, I pray. Bless this assembly. May, Lord, we worship in peace and in spirit and in truth. May you deal with our young people. Keep them strong. Keep them focused on the things that matter. Bless Sister Shirley in the hospital today, Lord. Sister Amber, Sister Christy, Sister Mary Ann Absher. So many others, Lord. We think of the Stevens family. And so many others, Lord, that just need your touch. I know, Lord, if Sister Molly had her way, she'd be here. That's her heart's desire. Father God, I just commit the people now into your hands. Thank you for our time together this morning. Bless our conversation, everything that's done this afternoon. Lord Jesus, may you be in it all. Bless our gatherings, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. I give my love completely to you. Fill me with your thoughts. Make it all brand new. Change my life. Let me live in all that's true. I just want to think like you. Sing it again now. Just fill me with your thoughts, Lord, make it all brand new, change my life, let me live in all that's true, I just want to live. So take me and hold me.
give my mind completely to you. Fill me with your thoughts, Lord, make it all brand new. Change my mind. Let me live. I just want to think like you.
We're going to let you go today. We have a couple of events that are taking place this afternoon. The deacons need to be on time. Sunday school for ages 13 to 7. That's Steve's class. You're going to meet in the sanctuary at 3:30. Do you have a class today, Sister Laura? She has a class today as well. And you know what? We all have class at 5. Sing it as you go today. God bless you. Shake one another's hands. As you leave today, great to have you with us. And let me say this. If you'd like to stay and worship, if you want to stay and sing, we'll do that a little bit. Is that all right? Musicians, is that all right? Appreciate our musicians. If you want to stay and worship and sing a little bit, do that. If you need to make a surrender, you can do that. Any way I can help you, I'd be glad to do that. But sing it as you go this evening here. I give my life. Your thoughts, make it all brand new. Let me live it all that's true. I just want to think like you. So thoughts, make it all brand new, change my life, let me live in all that's true, I just want to think like